Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? The shame's done all it's stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah, 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 amen, amen. Who can wipe away the tears from broken dreams and wasted years? Tell the past to disappear, oh, let me tell you about my Jesus. All the wrong turns that you would go and undo if you could. Who can work it all for your good? Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus, and let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah, 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 amen, amen. Who would take my cross to Calvary, pay the price for all my guilty? Who would care that much about me? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Oh, he makes a way where there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus, and let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah, 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 amen, amen. Hallelujah, 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 amen, amen.
I don't know if I can or not. I am so proud of our young people. Boy, when you need them, they just pick up and they just go. And I'll be honest with you,
thank you.
Victory. Many times I'm walking by faith and can't see what lies before me, but still I see victory.
I just gotta tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline. Because I'm covered by His blood. You may stare and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight.
'Cause remember,
you can't cross the bloodline.
You just want to come and talk to the Lord this morning? This altar's open.
Sometimes our battles get hot, and it seems we're fighting a lot, but I remember I'm standing on the rock. So Satan, if I were you, I'd turn around and I'd give up too, 'cause I do believe you're bound to lose.
I just gotta tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline, because I'm covered by His blood. You may stare and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight.
'Cause remember,
you can't cross the bloodline. I just gotta tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline, because I'm covered by His blood. You may stare and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight.
Remember,
you can't cross the bloodline. You may stare and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight.
'Cause
remember, you can't cross the bloodline. Remember, you can't cross the bloodline.
I just want to say something real quick. I was thinking when Gracie was singing, let me tell you about my Jesus.
Yeah.
For so many weeks and months and even years, I've watched the Lord own my son so strong. And I watched Him keep pushing it back, pushing it back, pushing it back. But I just want to personally say thank you. I can look around and I know the people in this room that have prayed for Him can't cross the bloodline, because my son now belongs to Him. So thankful for that. So that's what I want to tell you about my Jesus. And then when we were singing this, I thought so many times we have been in a battle and we have been fighting. But when the blood is applied, Satan can't cross it. And I don't know what you're dealing with today, and maybe you have something that you're fighting, but just know if that blood's been applied to your life, He can only come so far. We'll battle and we'll fight, but He's not going to win the battle. And then I think about Uncle Dion, and how my heart hurts for him, Miss Elna. He can't cross the bloodline. And I just encourage her. I was talking to Dad on the way to church. Sometimes when your family is in trouble, we just need to rally in together. This is our family. We have so much going on in our family right now. we need to rally together and just be with our family. At the children's home, Uncle Dion is, he might only be a part-time house parent, but he is a big part of those kids' lives and a big part of what goes on over there. So I just beg you as a church, please don't. Let's hold our banner high for the Lord and for Uncle Dion and keep praying for him, because he's not going to lose the battle. And I'm just thankful for the blood. I'm thankful for Jesus. I'm thankful for salvation. I'm just thankful for a lot. And I'm just overwhelmed at what Jesus has done in my life.
Sometimes our battles get hot, and it seems we're fighting a lot, but I remember I'm standing on the rock. So Satan, if I were you, I'd turn around and I'd give up too, 'cause I do believe you're bound to lose.
I just gotta tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline, because I'm covered by his blood. You may stare and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight. 'Cause remember, you can't cross the bloodline. You may stare and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight. 'Cause remember, you can't cross the bloodline.
You must remember,
you can't cross the bloodline. We
came down the hallway this morning, Miss Sharon and I, and she said, "Well, Lord have mercy, where is everybody?" I said, "I don't know. It seemed very quiet around here this morning." But God. And he comes in a service where we think, what in the world are we going to do for music this morning? And he shows up. And I'm thankful. And I'm glad to know that I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. And I'm glad to know that he can't cross the bloodline. And this morning, I have a word, I believe, word from God, for the children of God. And if you have your Bibles with me this morning, if you'll turn over with me very quickly to the book of 1 Kings, the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 17, and we're going to look at a few verses this morning. I want to go ahead and start with verse number 1, and we'll quickly read through a few verses, and I'm going to give you the text verses, which will come from 1 Kings 17 in verse number 8. But I want to lay a little bit of groundwork for you very quickly. And in the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 17, in verse number 1, it says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and..." Now notice what he said. "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying..." When God's speaking, it would be a good time to listen. "Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, and that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook." Then notice in verse number 7. "And it came to pass after a while..." I don't know how much after a while is. I don't know how long after a while is. Sometimes we go through things and we think, well, how long is this going to take? How long are we going to go through this? All I can tell you is we're going to go through it after a while. "But after a while, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land." Then notice in verse number 8, and we'll get our text verses from verse 8 through 16. And it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise and go to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and he went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there." We could bring a message this morning on all the theirs. "Gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, and make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me. And after, make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and her house... did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah." I've got a word of God for the children of God this morning. Now, I could title the message this morning, and it would fit really well, "Little is Much When God Is In It." Wouldn't you say so? I could even say that when God turns a little into a lot, and that would fit pretty well. I'm not going to give you the title of the message until we get to the end of the message. That's a good thing for you, because that means I got to hurry to get there. Amen? So you bear with me for a little bit this morning. I want to share with you this. Elijah is in class. We would call it this morning, if you were to write it over the door of the class that he was in, class 101 at the University of the Dry Barrel. Now, We must also realize that Elijah has already graduated from the class of the Dry Brook University. Where God had been nourishing him, he has been allowing Elijah to drink from the brook. But the text informs us that the brook dries up because there's been no rain in the land. And now God commands Elijah to go to Zarephath, and here he will continue his education at the school of the dry barrel, if you will, where he's going to meet this widow woman who will provide for his needs. What an education he's receiving. But this text is not just tailored for Elijah to receive an education. This text is tailored to teach us that when one door closes, you with me, church? At least one of us are. When one door closes, amen, come on, y'all catch it with me now. That when one door closes, God is, not only can he, but he is able and will open another door. That's where you shout, amen?
Amen.
So when God closes one door, he can and will open another door. Now here's what I want you to get. I want you to get it like I got it. Lord of mercy, when the Lord gave me this, I thought I was going to have a running spell. I'll be real honest with you. I shouted her out. And I hope I didn't shout it all out. Because I said, Lord, what I need for you to do for me this morning, I need your anointing on the service. That don't come from me. Amen? That comes from him. So if God is going to close one door and he can and will open another door, here's where we get. We sit around and we get to mully grubs. And we say, Lord, what in the world is going on here? When are you going to open up another door for us here at Calvary? Hello? But here's what I want to tell you this morning. If we could ever get to the place that when God closes one door and we're waiting on him to open another door, that we would go ahead and just shout it out in the hallway. That's what I thought. Y'all get that tonight about 9 o'clock when you pull them covers up, and I hope you get one of them spells like I did, come out of them covers and run around the bedroom a time or two. Amen? Because God is able, and he will open another door. But until then, hey, we might as well just go ahead and shout in the hallway because he's worthy, and we know he's able to take care of us. There's not a one of us in this room that God hasn't taken care of. Amen? And he is still taking care of us today. It would be a great time to just praise him in the hallway. Now, it takes two keys for the door to be open. We're not just supposed to be sitting back here waiting with the mully grubs. We should go ahead and praise him in the hallway. But we've got two keys that we've got to use. I started to go by, I think I did this one time before years ago, started to go by Home Depot and ask them if they'd give me a bunch of blank keys. And I was going to give all of y'all two keys because I'm afraid you'll forget it before we get to the house, you see. But if you got them two keys in your pocket, you might be able to remember it. There's two keys that we need in order to be able to open the door. Number one is faithfulness. Amen right there. Number two is obedience. Because faithfulness and obedience to God, and I got this from Brother Snyder, y'all hang in there, will always, always, how often? Here you do listen. Will always lead to the blessings of the Lord. I'm going to repeat that just in case you didn't get it. Faithfulness and obedience will always lead to the blessings of God. Amen? Can I borrow you for just one skinny minute? And let me see if I can explain this thing to you really quick and we'll go to the house. You with me? You see, church, when Elijah enrolls here at the school of the dry barrel, he runs up on this widow woman. Now remember, we just read that God was going to provide a widow woman to take care of him, to nurture him, to give him the things that he was going to stand in need of. So it's not an accident, but it's a divine appointment that he runs into the little widow woman. Amen? He then makes a request of her. She's there. He's met her. And he says, "Ma'am, would you do me a favor? Would you go and get me a drink of water in a vessel?" And she says, "Okay." So she gets up. I can almost see it, Brother Ceylon. She takes about 2 steps and he says, "Oh, by the way, ma'am, would you mind bringing me back a piece of bread? Just a little handful." He was just looking for a snack. And she said, "Well, sir, I only have enough. I've only got enough meal in my barrel that's almost dry. And I've only got a little bit of oil in my cruse. And my plan is that I'm going to fix a little meal. And me and my son are going to eat it. And we're going to prepare to die." All he's asking for is just a little piece of bread and a little glass of water. I remember back when I was a kid, on Saturdays, sometimes Sundays, but usually on Saturdays, I'd wake up, and I'd smell bacon frying in the pan. Mama's in the kitchen, amen? She done made up a big old bowl of sausage gravy. And she's over there scrambling. You don't like sausage gravy? That's the best stuff right there. That's better than sliced white bread, ain't it? She made up a big old bowl of sausage gravy, and she's scrambling eggs, and I smelled something cooking in the oven. And in the oven, you know what she's got? She's got a big old pan of biscuits in there. And that's great. Anybody in here don't like biscuits and gravy? Something wrong with you. But she has got it, and I smell the biscuits in there. But also, there's a lot to be said about that I won't even share. But anyway, Mama's got them biscuits cooking in there. But also, she would have a little bit of that biscuit mixture left over. I wish Brother Don was here because he'd know exactly what I'm talking about. She'd have a little bit of that mixture, and it'd be about that big around. And she'd put it in an iron skillet. And she'd pat it down real thin. Put that thing in the oven and get it out, and it'd be nice and brown and crisp on the edges. And she, you know what that's called? Anybody in this building know what that's called? A hoe cake. Yeah, does that ring a bell now? She'd get that thing out of the oven and she'd break off a piece of that hoe cake, put some butter on it. I'd get the syrup or the honey out or something like that. In the words of Jerry Clower, "Whoa!" Yeah. Oh, I'm talking about good eating, hey man. That reminded me of someone else that could make a good cake. And that would be a pawn. Y'all know what a pawn of cornbread is? Y'all remember Miss Bonnie Carmichael's cornbread? She'd bring that over here to the church, and that thing would be nice and thin and crispy. And she'd say, "Brother Allen, you better get down there quick because it's still warm. I brought cornbread. You ain't got to tell me but once, honey. I am headed down the stairs." All he was looking for, I would think that's probably what that bread looked like that she was over there baking at the house. All he wanted was just a piece of that hoe cake. And she said, "What you don't understand is, I don't have enough. Me and my son are going to have the last little bit, and we're going to eat and partake of it, and we're going to die." But Elijah responds to her. And here was the response: "But ma'am, if you will take care of me, God will take care of you." That's another one of them running spells right there. Amen? Hey, you take care of the man of God, and God will take care of you. Thank you. That's good right there. And she said, "But you don't understand. Look, not only does God open doors when we exercise faith and obedience, but he is also teaching us to never, never, not ever give up on God." The widow is at the point of giving up on life. She tells Elijah that she only has enough just to make a little meal for her and her son, and then they're going to prepare to die. In other words, she has given up on life. And when we give up on life, then we have given up on God. But I've got these 2 words that I want to share with you this morning: but God. Amen. He is able. He is the, not only is He the giver of life, but He is also the sustainer of life. Amen? I'm glad to know that I've got life, and I've got it this morning because of Jesus. I've got it more abundantly. Amen? And He's watching after me, and He's taking care of me. And all He's asking me to do is just to be faithful. Let me point you to a little picture of faithfulness. You saw it this morning. When you come in here and you've got six, seven people in the choir, you got six and maybe one of them is you. And the musicians come and they play and we stand and we sing. Look what God has done for you. A lot of people would come in this morning and they'd say, well, Lord of mercy, you ain't got six people in the choir. Why didn't y'all just sit it out? Because faithfulness and obedience said, you just come in and see if God won't bless. Amen? And He showed up this morning. When He shows up, Brother Jeff, He's just about able to show out. Amen? And He will do that. I'm so thankful for it. That's not all. Faithfulness and obedience said, when you step into your Sunday school class and you only have one or two, and that two, one of them might be you, you just go ahead and preach it. You go ahead and teach it. Amen? I could have come in this morning and said, boy, we just ain't got nobody. I'm just going to go ahead and shut her down. We had a good singing service. The Holy Spirit began to touch hearts, change lives this morning. Let's just say amen, go to the house. But He said, I've got a message. Amen? I've got a message from the Lord this morning. I've got a message from God for the children of God. And He said, you just bring it and see what I won't do. Amen? At the point of life, and she's ready to give up on God, we should never put a period where God has put a comma. One door closes, you're waiting for the next door to open. What did I tell you to do? Just go ahead and praise Him in the hallway because He's worthy. Because when we are down and out and it seems like we're up to nothing, here comes the title of the message. You ready? God is up to something. Thank you, Brother Jeff. When we're up to nothing, God is up to something. This morning, I got up real early. I just couldn't sleep. The clock went off and I was up. You know me, I'm up, used to getting up about 3:30. I didn't get up at 3:30 this morning, but I got up real early. And I got up and I walked over. I got my glasses and I looked over and I thought, I can't turn the light on. I'll wake her up. I cracked the door open, and I don't know about your door. I need to get the WD-40 out, but it goes. Ee-. I thought, got up on the other side of that door and I pulled it to, and it got worse. It was. Oh. I'm telling you something. When it seems like we're up to nothing, God's up to something. And at Calvary, Brother Ceylon, I can almost hear the door beginning to creak. God's got a man somewhere for this church. Somebody say amen right there. But we're going to have to be faithful, and we're going to have to be obedient, and we're going to have to do a little work in the process and set and listen and wait and watch and see what God has got in store for Calvary. When we are up to nothing, God is up to something. Even though the situation looked bad, and it did, they were about to have their last meal and die. Anybody in this room? I know none of us. Here's what we say. Boy, I'm about to starve. That put a different thought on it, didn't it? They're about to have the last meal and die. We say that, but I doubt any of us have ever been on starvation. By the looks of this crowd, I don't think we've missed a whole lot of meals, amen? We Baptists, there's one thing we want to do, and that's eat. Sausage gravy, remember? Biscuits. It seemed like, okay, somebody's listening. Pound of cornbread. I can preach on some food now. Even though it seemed bad, and it was, even though her situation looked hopeless, and it did, even though she was at the point of giving up, and she was, but God. When we are at our worst, here we go again. You ready to run? Even though when we are at our worst, God is at His best. When it seems we are at our worst, God is at His best. And I am thankful this morning to know that He's still the one in charge and He's still the one in control. There's an old spiritual song that says, He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. On-time God. Yes, He is. He said He may not come when you want Him, but Job said He'll be there right on time. And He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. I wish I could get all y'all to rock with me this morning. He's an on-time, yeah. He's an on-time God. He is always on time. He always has a way of showing up and showing out, sustaining us in the midst of life's most miserable moments. You see, somebody here this morning is enlisted in Dry Barrel University. And your situation looks bad. It seems hopeless. It looks dark. It looks dreary. And it seems like your situations are just about to get the best of you. But I stopped by this morning to encourage you. Don't give up on God. He will never, ever give up on you. Hear me this morning, Calvary. I've got a word from the Lord. God is up to something. You say, what is it, Brother Allen? Who is it? What's He got in store for us? Hey, I don't know, but I can praise Him in the hallway. Amen. If we was at a good old Church of God meeting this morning, they'd be over on that organ, boom, boom, and every one of us would be dancing all at one time. I know. We'll never do any dancing around here. I get it. But hey, it wouldn't hurt nothing every now and then to throw them hands up and worship and praise Him. Because He is an on-time God. And He is able. Don't ever give up on God. God is up to something. I know it gets discouraging. I told you that in the very beginning. Sometimes we all get discouraged. We get depressed. We get down. I know it's like that. When you come in and you got 7 choir members, it's a little discouraging. When you look at them, the church is not full. I am the worst at looking back at the way Calvary once was. It's not just Calvary. Hello? We tend to think, oh my goodness, look where we are. Hey, you go to most churches, especially traditional churches, and pretty much that's what you find. And I know folks that visit around and see and go to different churches, and they tell me the same thing. Brother Corey, when he was here the last time he came and he worshiped with us on that Tuesday evening, I believe, he said, Brother, you wouldn't believe it, what I see. But God, we may change, but He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Amen? And He's still in the soul-saving business. Proof of that's my grandson. Amen? And we've had others that have gotten saved this year. God has not changed. He is still the same. Just hold on to the 2 keys. What are they? Faithfulness and obedience. Will always, always, always lead to the blessings of God. And when it seems that we are at our worst, God is at His best. So I would tell you this morning, Calvary, you just keep on keeping on for the cause of Christ, because He's worthy. Amen. And He wants to do something with this church, in this church, through this church, for this community. So you just keep on keeping on for the cause of Christ. I'll never forget when I would go strolling down the hallway on those Saturday mornings, and Mama was in there, and she had those biscuits in the oven and that breakfast going. I would hear her in there singing this. And I'm going to tell you this morning, I know we've had many that have already come to pray, but I'm going to ask you this morning, church, would you stand with me? And if you want to come and you want to ask God to do something in your life, maybe you've never been saved, it'd be a great time. I never try and orchestrate around anything. I just try to be obedient to what the Lord has for us. And if you just need to come and cast your care upon Him, you can come and do that. I'm going to sing a verse of a song that Mama used to sing in the kitchen. And maybe it might stir your heart and cause you to realize what a friend we have in Him. If you want to come and pray, please do so. If not, I'll sing a verse and we'll go home in just a minute. But know this, that God is up to something. She would sing it like this. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. One more verse, you want to come? Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, He's still our refuge. So take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms He'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love You this morning. Lord, we thank You this morning for Your word. And Lord, we're glad to know this morning that yes, little can be much when You are in it. Lord, that's been evident here at Calvary today. Lord, I believe that we have sensed Your presence in this place. We've worshiped You. Lord, many have come to this altar this morning and they've casted their cares upon You. And for these that have come already and for these that are here now, Lord, I pray that You would just hear our prayer. Lord, I pray that You would meet our needs. And Lord, I ask You, and Lord, I just lift up our church to You because You know the needs that we have here. Lord, we cast those cares upon You knowing that You are able. Lord, we've seen one door closed. We're waiting on the creaking and the sound of the next door to open. And in the meantime, Lord, we're going to just praise You in the hallway. Thank You for the opportunity this morning we've had to be in Your house. Lord, bless Your people. Thank You for our church family that we're able to join together with this morning. Lord, give us a great day today. Be with the children's home as they travel. Be in the COU meeting this afternoon with Brother Brian as he brings the message tonight. We will praise You and we will thank You for all that's accomplished. Thank You, Lord, especially for those that are visiting with us here today. What a blessing to see folks come to Calvary and visit. Lord, I pray that You just be with them. Pray that they've received a blessing from being here. We thank you and we praise you for everything that's been accomplished in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. If you will, shake hands with a few folks. Let our visitors know you thank them for being here. And thank you, Calvary, for being here. You're dismissed this morning.